for this morning. We thank you that our ears are listening, not to Jordan, but to you, Holy Spirit. Because you are the one who transforms lives, not Jordan, not the pastor, not the person on the mic, but it's you, Holy Spirit, that changes lives. You're the one who can transform lives and renew lives and bring freedom and peace into lives. And so we yield to you this morning that we will listen not only with our ears but with our heart and with our eyes. Let us see what you want us to see. Let us hear what you are saying. And let everything that may be a blockage for us to receive, we remove those things right now and we lay it down at your feet so that we can hear what you're truly saying to us. I pray, Lord Father, if we are challenged, let us not be people who are, no, we don't want to listen, but let us surrender to you today. In the name of Jesus, we pray, all God's people say, amen, amen. So we're up to the part two, in motion, the killer, and the fuel to momentum. And we're going to start from Mark 10. Mark 10, 17 to 22. I'm going to read out a New Living Translation. You can read out any translation, it will just say the same thing, but it was going to be up on the screen. And it says this from verse 17, as Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down and asked, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus asked, only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder, you must not commit adultery, you must not steal, you must not testify falsely, you must not cheat anyone, and honor your father and mother. Teacher, the man replied, I've obeyed all these commands since I was young. Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. There is still one thing you haven't done, he told him. Go and sell your possessions and give your money to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, then come follow me. Or in other translations, pick up your cross and follow me. At this man's face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. We see in the story about a certain man, right? A certain man, a rich man, asking Jesus how to receive eternal life. Right? We're reading the same thing? Yeah? Jesus listed the commandments to the certain man, and he was like, yeah, no problem. I've done this. What you're telling me, I've done it. But Jesus says this. Jesus tells him that there's one area that he lacks and what to do, but he refuses to do it, and then he walks away with sadness. It's very odd for me, to be honest, because nowhere in the Bible where someone encounters Jesus walks away sad. Because anytime someone comes into Jesus, they walk away free. So I've titled the message of my sermon as a question for us today, which this man didn't do. And the question is this, am I surrendered? Are you with me this morning? Am I surrendered? So we're currently doing the series called In Motion, The Fuels and Killers to Momentum. And the one way to fuel momentum is to be surrendered to God. You guys all right? But the opposite is also true, that if we don't surrender to God, it will kill momentum. Am I surrendered? So in this particular story of this rich man, in his eyes, he had done everything right. In his eyes, he was walking this life perfectly. In his eyes, he is good with God. There are people that are living today saying that, yeah, oh man, I'm saved, I'm Christian. And they tend to believe, and I tend to believe too, that I was good with God. Jesus even laid out to this rich man, this is what you must do to inherit eternal life. And this is what Jesus said in verse 19. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. And honor your father and mother. But I want you to see something that I believe God showed me this morning that's quite significant. And I don't want to dilute the commandments, what God is saying, but I want to ask this question, what does this list of things that Jesus have said have in common? Can we have verse 19? Yeah, there. You must not commit murder, must not commit adultery, must not steal, must not testify falsely, you must not cheat anyone, and honor your father and mother. What are the commonalities between all these things? Have a think about it. What's common about all these things? And it's actually simpler than we think. But I was like, whoa. I want to tell you, this is the answer. You can do it on your own. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. And honor your father and mother. You can do it on your own. Have a think about it. You don't need to have a relationship with Jesus to do those things. You probably know somebody in the back of your mind who is not saved, who doesn't know God, but does all these things. I know someone right now that I can think of right now who is not saved, who doesn't believe in Jesus, who does all those things. Are we okay? I don't want to dilute the commandments. But what God showed me is that you don't need me for these things. You can do these. But what did Jesus say next? That's the significant part. In verse 21, he says, looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love with him. There is still one thing you haven't done. And he told him, go and sell your possessions and give money to the poor, and you'll have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me. Then come follow me. What was Jesus asking him to do? He was asking him to surrender. Because you can not commit murder. Have you committed murder? No? Are you sure? Yeah. All those things that God listed, he's like, you can do it on your own. But the one thing you can't do on your own is surrender your life to me. This man walked away in sadness, knowing what Jesus was asking him wasn't for him to be poor, but one who was truly and fully surrendered. We see this, oh, God's asking him to be poor and give up his riches. No, he's not asking you to be poor. He's asking, are you willing to surrender the things that you don't want to really surrender? Because in the things that you don't want to surrender, that's when you need God. I can honor my father and mother without knowing Jesus. I can choose not to commit murder and I don't need to know Jesus. But to live a life surrendered, I need to know Jesus. So the question I want to ask us is, what is surrender? And I was looking this up and I discovered this. Surrender is a battle term. Battle. It's a battle term. It implies that you're giving up all your rights and yielding to another. You're giving up all your rights. I surrender. You're giving up your rights and yielding to another. And so when we say our lives must be surrendered to God, it means that we're giving up our wants, needs, and plans for God's needs and wants and plans. That's if I were to put it in our generation's language, that's unfair. God's telling you to give up your wants, Lee. Telling you to give up all your needs and all your desires for life just so that you can follow him. To me, that feels unfair. Oh, but Lord, I have all these plans for my life. Like, yeah, my life is great. I planned my whole life. I made sure that I got my degree and I made sure that I did this work so I can get into the next work. And God's like, are you willing to surrender that very thing and give it all to me and follow my ways and plans? The problem with this generation is that when we get offended, we start putting isms to things. Like, I don't know about you, but I love watching what the world looks like because the world is the reflection of the church. And when this generation, when things get unfair, they put an ism against it. Do you guys know what isms are? There's always isms attached to it. And it explains how unfair. And so I'm just thinking, man, if we preach this out to the world, like, give up your needs, give up what you desire, give up all your life and follow Jesus, people are going, that's unfair for God to impose that on us. We've got our own rights. We've got our own way we want to live. And Jesus is like, hey, rich man, it's cool that you've done all this other stuff, but can you give up everything and follow me? Because this rich man, this particular man, he loved his riches. The Bible says that he was a wealthy man. And God's like, give it all up for me and follow me. And he was like, I'm not going to do that. I want to walk away. And the one thing that we don't realize, and I know I've done this, and probably you can relate to this, is that we don't realize that God's ways is higher than our ways. Sometimes we don't realize that God's plans are better than our plans. Sometimes we don't realize that God's future for us is better than what we have in mind for our future.
Are we okay?
I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but we make decisions after decisions without God, and we wonder why things are not going to plan. Things are not working out. Has anyone been in that place? You plan all this stuff. You're like, okay, babe. Okay, we'll put this money aside for this and do all this other stuff. And okay, what are we going to do? How can we feed ourselves? And blah, 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 blah. And we make all these plans, but the one thing that we don't do is go, God, what do you want us to do? We make decision after decision without God, and we wonder why things are not going right or going to plan. But what would it look like if you surrendered? Like, think about it. Like I'm not talking about just coming to church on a Sunday. I'm not just talking about going to Connect Group, but I'm talking about your life surrender. What would it look like if you surrendered your life? Not just part of you, not just half heart of you, but all of you. What if you went all in with Jesus? Can you say you're all in with Jesus? Window, are you all in for Jesus? I think we need to ask that question. Because to live this life of momentum, we need Jesus by our side. We need God's guidance in it. But we won't get God's guidance if we're not yielding to him. We can't get God's ways if we're not yielding to him. We can't know what God wants for our lives if we don't surrender our lives to him. So the question we need to ask ourselves is that, am I actually fully in God? Or am I just playing God? Am I just playing the part? Because I believe in order for us to achieve and get the things that God has ahead of us as a church, ahead of us as individuals, it requires us to lay our lives down. And I believe the greatest fuel we need for momentum is people who are surrendered to God. Because you know what it's saying when we're surrendered to God? It's saying that we need God's help. That's what it says. When we say, I surrender, well, we're saying, God, I need your help. I can't do it on my own. I surrender my life. I surrender my ways. I surrender my thoughts. I surrender my passions so that I can go after what you desire for my life. It's saying that God knows better. But the problem is we don't act or live like that God knows better. Can anyone relate to that? Like sometimes I make decisions and I think I know better. And then I realize the decision that I made was not the right decision. And so I have to not suffer, but I have to go with the consequences or to my actions. And God's like, I told you not to do that. Why did you do that? Like parents do it with their kids. Told you, shouldn't have done that. No. I told you, when you get older, like this is what my parents said to us, like when we were treating our parents wrongly, you wait till you have kids. You don't know the way you're treating us. Oh, no, your children are going to treat you the same, but even worse, maybe. How true that was. But I also believe the greatest killer to momentum is one who doesn't surrender Why do I say it's the killer to momentum? It's because we're saying to God, I can do it on my own strength. Just like with this rich man, he's like, God, nah, cool, man. I've done all those things. I'm sweet. Is that how I get eternal life? And God's like, no, there's actually one more thing. Because he was happy. He was having this conversation with Jesus. He's like, how do I get eternal life? Don't murder, don't commit adultery. Make sure you don't cheat or lie to others. Make sure you honor your father and mother. He's like, yeah, man, I do all those things. And he's like, okay, cool. There's one more thing. Give up your wealth. Follow me. Take up your cross. Follow me. And he walks away with sadness. And it's the only time that you truly see where someone walks away from Jesus when they have an encounter with sadness. Where the Bible records that they were sad leaving him. I haven't seen it anywhere else. And so it becomes a killer to momentum when we don't surrender because it's about our own strength. You do it your way, you do it with your plans, and you do it with whatever you have. And I remember, like, even just with my wife and I, our life, I remember when I took things into my own way, in my own plans, you know what happened at the end? Disaster. When we take things in our own hand, disaster. Why? Because I'm not the giver of life. Why? Because I don't know the end from the beginning. I just know what's happening right now. You know who knows the end from the beginning? God. But we act like we make decisions like we know the end from the beginning. But we don't. We're not God. God sees the end. He's like, I see the end. You need to stop what you're doing right now. And you're like, no, I'm good. I'm sweet. But God's like, I see the end of the result of what you're doing. You need to yield. You need to surrender. And there's some things in our lives that we're doing in private, in secret, where God's like, I need you to stop and yield to me. Because the way you're heading is not where I want you to be. The one thing that my parents always taught us is that their ceiling should be our footstool, right? So they build their life, and we don't start from where they were. We start from their ceiling. So their ceiling is our ground level. We need to have God the same way, because God wants us to start here, but for some reason, we want to start all the way down here. Like, nah, God, I got this. Has anyone done that? I got this. I'm sweet. I'm right. Not realizing that's not where God wants you to start. He wants you to start you here. What does the Bible say? That we're seated in where? High places or heavenly places. So the place that we're seated is our starting point to life. Are you all right this morning? We don't start from where we think we should start. We start where? In heavenly places. Who's in heaven? God. So who do we start with? God. But who don't we start with? God. If we're truly honest with ourselves, do I start with God? If I don't, the question that I need to ask myself, am I actually truly surrendered? Am I only surrendered on a Sunday when I need to be there? Am I just surrendered on a connect group when I need to be there? But is my life surrendered? And the beautiful thing about the word surrender is that the scriptures don't actually talk about the word surrender, but it implies surrender throughout the scriptures. And I'm only going to bring two verses up where I think it's important for us to understand with surrender. And these scriptures lead us to surrenderance. And it's in James 4:10. It says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Let me say that again. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. What does humble mean, or humility mean? It means lowliness of mind. If you're writing notes, it means lowliness of mind. Do I have that up there? Yeah. It means lowliness of mind. I want you to hear me on this. Humility or humbleness is not thinking of ourselves as less than. Hear me. Humbling ourselves, or humility, is not thinking of ourselves as less than, but it's thinking less of ourselves. Can I say that again if you didn't catch it? Humility or humbleness is not thinking of ourselves less than, but it's just thinking less of ourselves. To think less of ourselves is putting God in the rightful place, and that requires what? Surrender. To think less of ourselves, like bringing us down, like I'm not thinking about me all the time. To think less of ourselves is putting God in his rightful place. And say, God, I know I'm made from dirt, and you, I am a child of God, and I'm seated in heavenly places, but this is your rightful place. So I surrender. We need to have God here in our lives, that we come humbly before him. Because our nature, as a human nature, and you might not be like this now, but our human nature as human beings wants to put ourselves first. In the back of our mind, our sinful nature is trying to put us ahead of everybody else. And you can go, oh, no, I don't do that. No, we do that. We just choose not to do that. But in the back of our mind, we are trying to get ahead of ourselves. Like, we're trying to get put ourselves first. Boom, boom, boom. But one who is surrendered is one who thinks less of themselves and more of who God is. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Put Christ back into his place. I'm not thinking myself as low, but I'm just bringing myself under who was higher than I am. You know what the beautiful thing, but where's that verse, the humble verse, James 4? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. God says that he will lift who? The humble. What does it mean if God's not lifting you up? Think about it. If God lifts up the humble, if he's not lifting you up, what are you? Not humble. And you know what? That's a good place to recognize where you are. Because God lifts up the humble, the one that brings himself and puts Christ into his rightful place. I come humbly before you, God. And then he lifts us up. But if God's not lifting us up, we need a question. Am I humbly going before God, or am I just thinking that? God wants this to shift. But I also need to say this, because I've been brought up this way, not for my parents, but just for church in general. Don't be caught up in fake humbleness. I have to bring that up. The church do it all the time, this fake humbleness. And you might be going, what is fake humbleness? It's when I'll go to Melba, okay, Melba, man, you did such a great job today. Just want to thank you. And then Melba turns to me and says, nah, oh God. I have a problem with that, because I didn't see God, I saw Melba. This fake humbleness of like, nah, oh God, I'm sure you probably said it. I'm sure you probably heard someone say it, you're playing the drums. Man, you're awesome at drums, man. Nah, oh God. Oh, I didn't see God leave his throne. Christ said he's seated at the right hand of God. I didn't see him come down. If he came down, then I must have missed out on the rapture. Nah, it's all God. Don't be caught up in that fake humbleness. Because I think I'll put it like this. Take the compliment, not because you think you're the man or you're the woman, but because you did a great job. But then go back to God and go, God, I thank you. It's about receiving the compliment, and you're like, cool, humble, stay humble. Don't be prideful in it. But in the moment, taking it, cool, take it. And then go back before God and go, God, I lay it back at your feet. That is humble. I hear it all the time when I go to different churches and I'm only visiting. And I go, for some reason, it's always in band members, like worship teams. Bro, man, you did amazing on guitar. I loved how you did the riff there. I felt God's presence from it. Oh, nah, you know, it's all God, you know. Like, can you stop it? Take the compliment. Take the encouragement. But then what do you do after that encouragement? You take that encouragement, what do? God, I lay it down at your feet. Why are you doing that? It's because you're putting God in his rightful place. I take that compliment, but I'm going to put it rightful place. God, I'm like this because of you, humbly. So I had to learn, like I had to learn the hard way, just to really take compliments of when people's like, man, you inspire me, blah, 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 blah. And when I hear it, I'm just like, nah. It's all God in my head. You know, it's like, it's all God. But God taught me, like, Jordan, take it, but learn to surrender it so your pride stays away from you. Take it so that you can put me in my rightful place and go, God, I have this because of you. So I fully surrender it back. What do the kings do around the throne room of God in Revelation? The kings lay down what is worth to them most. They lay down their crown. They were given their crown to be king, and they're kings. Yeah, cool. But the very thing that they had as priceless, as of value, what do? They put it back to the throne room of grace and say, God, I worship you through this. So don't be fake humble, because I'll call you out. You know why I'll call you out? It's because if we don't call each other out, we'll never grow. Call each other out. Oh, no, God. Oh, I don't see God here. Far out. I see God through you, but I don't see God turn up. Take the compliment. Learn how to take. Can I talk to all my islanders in here? Learn to take the compliment. All my Pacificas, learn to take the compliment. All my people, take the compliment. But what do you do after that? Humbly give it back to God. God, I take that compliment, and that's cool, but I'm laying it back down at your throne. I want to use it as worship towards you because you deserve all honor and glory and praise. The reason why I'm like this is because of you. The reason why I can bless and inspire others is because of you, so I lay it back down at your throne. So now the compliment is more than a compliment, but it's an act of worship. Humble yourself, and not in Lee or Pastor Sene or Thomas' sight, but whose sight? God's sight. Humble yourself before him. Are we okay? Luke 9:23, my last scripture. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. There are three things that Jesus is saying. The first thing is this, deny himself. Everyone say, deny himself. I thought, like, I was going to give you, like, all this, like, spew about denying himself, but I thought just to give you one sentence to really look at yourself. Are you denying yourself? And I put it like this. Who is your allegiance to? Is it yourself or God? Think about it. Who is your allegiance to? Yourself or God? When you give allegiance to someone, what you're doing is surrendering. You're giving up all your everything in here, and I give allegiance to you. Who is your allegiance to? Yourself or God? Because denying oneself requires us to surrender. It's about what God wants over what we desire. Deny himself. Who is your allegiance to? You know how you know who your allegiance to is? By the choices you make. Me personally, it's a great thing, a great trait that I have, but it's also a flaw at times. My allegiance is to God. I need to word this properly. I'll do anything for God in my space that I'm in today. I'll do anything for God. If God tells me to do something, I'll do it. With no hesitation now. Like I don't second guess if he's saying something. I just do it now. To the point of like, sometimes it affects my family with the choices that I make. Like even time with family. Like if God's like pushing me to like for example, this morning, like from 11 to 3 o'clock this morning, I could have been in bed, my wife just chilling, sleeping. But I have this conviction in my heart that even if I get 2 hours sleep, it's worth it. Because my allegiance is not to my marriage first. My allegiance is to God, and then He'll bless this marriage. My allegiance is not to my son. My son gets it naturally if I'm surrendered to him first. The reason why families can thrive the way it should thrive is because when we have God as our first allegiance, as our first priority, our family will naturally be blessed. Our children will naturally be blessed. Sometimes we just got to deny ourselves satisfaction, deny ourselves of things that may make us feel good, just to go, okay, God, I actually truly believe in you. I do believe that you have a plan for me. So I want to deny this area of my life because I pledge allegiance to you first. Because why take something that is temporary and give up something that's eternal? We as Christians always like give the world the first of us, not realizing the consequences of what? If God doesn't know you, what happens? Get away from me. I never knew you. Close the door. Eternity is worth the sacrifice today. Eternity is worth turning up to church every Sunday. I was frustrated this morning. My team probably knew that. I was just frustrated. Got up at 6, came at 6:30 and loading up the van, blah, blah, blah. Doing this by myself. I'm just like, Lord, far out. Why again? And I was like, oh, man, Lord, why? And then I'm like, surrender. Surrender those frustrations. You know those things that you want to like, you want to yell at your wife or yell at your spouse and yell at the thing? Deny yourself. You know those thoughts that you want to say, you want to say it. You annoy me. But you're like, I need to deny myself. Why? Because me denying myself and coming to surrender to God stops me from saying something stupid. Stops me from thinking badly. And then I was at the car at church and I was like loading. I was like, oh, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. In my heart, I wasn't thankful. But I was trying to push myself back into Thanksgiving because I'm like, nah, you know what? I would do this every Sunday just to have your presence in the room. It is worth the sacrifice. Even though I had to get up early and I had to sleep, I'm just like, Lord, it's worth it now, even though I'm so tired. And even my wife understood when she texts me personally. But I'm just like, you know what? I'll do this every Sunday if I have to. Why? Because my allegiance is to God first, not the church. The church just gets blessed when we seek His face first. My life gets blessed when I seek His face first. And sometimes the blessing doesn't come monetary, but the blessing might be freedom, more peace, more joy. All that's worth it. I'd rather have all the joy and all the freedom in myself than have all the riches in the world. Even though the riches in the world would be great, it would build our building real fast. It would do things in my life that I would like, oh man, all my dreams and that. But I'll give up all my dreams and all these other things to be in surrenderance to God. Have I always been like this? No, I haven't. No. Do I make mistakes? Yes, I do. Am I always surrendered to God? Sometimes I'm not. But it's about every day acknowledging, coming daily to Him and going, I surrender. And even when I move out of surrenderance, I need to push myself back. Because why? Because I know anointing flows when I'm surrendered. I know that the bondages of sin is out of my life. Why? When I'm surrendered. I know that my life has freedom. Why? When I'm surrendered. Everything that you've been praying for, everything that you've been believing for God in is in surrender. What you've been praying for your marriage, what you've been praying for your breakthrough for your kids, to have a relationship with Jesus, where is that? In surrender. If we just learn to surrender. And so the first thing, deny himself. Hello, Jesus? So if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. The second one, take up his cross daily. What does that mean? It means to sacrifice and to lay your life down. Not just Sunday, not just when you want to, but daily. If you think about Jesus taking up his cross, think about it. Like I thought about it this morning. I thought about Jesus taking up his cross, and he was taking it to what? His own execution. It's like trying to wear yourself in a casket to your own grave. That's what Jesus was doing. He was taking up his cross to his own execution. And when I looked at that, I was like, wait, did God do that half-heartedly? Nah, impossible. It's impossible for God to hold the cross and walk to his execution half-heartedly. He had to give it all. And he did give it all, even to the point of death. What did he say on the cross? Forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Even to the point of death, he still had love, he still had forgiveness, and he still took up his cross. Even with the nails and his pierced feet, spat out, thrones and all that. Even with all that, he took up his cross. When we surrender to God, we are saying that we're going to take up our cross. When we surrender to God, we are saying we are going to put to death our thoughts that don't line up with God. We're putting to death our ways that don't line up with God. We're putting to death our plans that don't line up to God. That is surrenderance. Sometimes we're planning stuff for our life. Oh, I want to move here because the grass is greener on the other side. No, the grass is only greener on the other side. It's because it's being maintained. We look me and the pastors always talk about it all the time because it happens a lot in church, and especially in Wellington, is that a lot of people go, they move to Australia because the grass is greener on the other side. And I understand, there's better opportunities in that. But would you sacrifice God's surrenderance here in New Zealand just to be over there and have opportunity? If something doesn't line up to what God wants, we need to take up to the cross, put it to death. Those thoughts, put it to death. Put those plans to death. Put those things that don't line up to what he wants for our life, put it to death. What happens when you put something out to death? What happened to Jesus? When he put up to death, Jesse, when he put that very thing up to death, what happened? 3 days he rose again. Did he come back the same? No, he came in glory. So the very thing that you're putting up to death, you know what God's going to come back? With glory. The very thing, you're sacrificing little, this maybe feel in you, it might be so big. But to God, that's little, minute, small. Why? Because he has this much for you. You just need to give away this. But to us, it's this. But God's like, take that. Take up your cross daily. Sacrifice. Put to death the things that are taking us away from not only surrenderance, but put to death anything that doesn't line up to what God wants. And you know what? I've got to tell you the truth. It's going to hurt. I don't think any death is nice. I don't think any death is something of pleasant. So if we're going to put to death the things in our life, it's going to hurt. It's going to be hard. But you know what we're doing? We're choosing to surrender. We're putting God back into his rightful place and going, God, I have these thoughts about my life. I have these thoughts about my family and all this. But you know what? I want to put to death because I want to take up my cross and follow you. Which comes to the last one. So deny yourself, take up your cross daily. The last one is what? Follow him. If you were to follow someone, wouldn't that mean that they're ahead of you? Simple way. If you're following someone, that would mean someone is ahead of you. Which means Jesus must be what? Ahead of us. So that we can what? Follow him. But the problem with us today and I have this problem, and this is me being transparent. I have this problem. Sometimes I don't want to be in a follower's pace. You know when you're following a car? Follow me. I'll take you to the place. Cool, cool. And in your mind, I know how to get there faster. I know a route that will cut this, all this, and go through this. I can cut all this and meet them there. Have you ever done it? Like you're following somebody, and then you take your own route. The reason why we take our own route is because we get frustrated. They're going too slow. I know a better way. And we think we know better. But we don't know that that very person probably knows a better way. But in our mind, we know the better way. We have to learn how to be people that has the follower's pace. We have to be okay at the speed God wants to take. We got to be okay with the speed God is taking us, because that's what it means to follow. Follow means he's ahead of us, meaning wherever he turns left, I'm going to turn left. When he turns right, I'm going to turn right, which means I have to continually stay what? Behind him. But many of us, and me included, sometimes go ahead of him. And we go so far ahead that we're like, oh, where's God? And God's like, I'm over here. Either come back or wait for me. And God's just taking his time. Cool, cool, cool. And we're just like, oh my goodness. God, can you be a bit faster? Is there no one here? You want God to be faster in some things? Sometimes God wants us just to be at a follower's pace and learn to yield. You learn to surrender, because following him means he has to be ahead of us. We have to see him. And we've got to stop being people who just run ahead, thinking, oh, God, God, oh, I know where the destination is. I'll meet you there. But you know what? We don't know what the end from the beginning. We don't know the corners of life that's coming at us. God sees everything. That's why God says, follow me. And the reason why we get into predicaments where it gets hard, where it gets frustrating, where it becomes unpeaceful, what happens? It's we become our own pace. We're running at our own speed, not realizing that God's all the way down there waiting for us, saying, why are you hurrying? The reason why I haven't took you to the pace that you want it is because your character is not built for what's ahead of you. The reason why I'm not taking you at that speed is because you're not humble enough to receive that that's in front of you. Man, I'm so glad that God took his time on me when it came to things, because if he went early at the time that I wanted it, I would have been the most prideful person in life. I was prideful in my youth age, and I was doing amazing things for God, and I was thinking, oh man, I'm doing all these things, it's because of me and all this other stuff. Not realizing God pushed it all the way back because I didn't learn to what? Be humble. Didn't learn to surrender. So if people know my story, things that I should have done 5 years ago, I'm only starting to do now. And the only reason why I'm only starting to do it now is because I chose to be at the speed of myself and not choose to follow God. We need to learn to go at the speed of a follower and try not to overtake, because we tend to be ones who try to speed up and overtake God because we think he's going too slow. But the truth that I know and that we know through the word is that God knows the way. Because who is he? He is the way. We gotta stop thinking that we know the way, because he is the true way. We need to learn to follow God's lead. We must be people who surrender. And if we truly want to get on the cycle of momentum this year, it requires us to not just be people who are half-heartedly in God, but those who surrender fully. And I'm not saying that you're going to, if you're only surrendering God a little bit today, and you know, like, oh man, I want to surrender God fully. Yeah, make that decision today. Are you going to do it straight away? No. No, you're not. You're not going to do it straight away. Why? Because it takes time. It takes consistency. It takes every day coming up to Jesus and going, God, teach me to surrender to you today. So that whenever you go to work, your mind's on surrender. Okay, surrender. You wanna swear at somebody because they did something wrong to you? You're learning to, God, deny yourself. Put to death that thought. And go, okay, I'm surrendered, God. I'm not going to swear. Man, you're awesome. I did that at Bunnings a lot. The moments that I wanted to swear, I'm just like, man, you're cool. Just walk away. Because if you can learn how to surrender in the little things, God will give you big things. Why? Because you learn how to surrender. So the question I want to ask us this morning, and I want you to ask this to yourself and to your heart, and be truthful about it. Am I surrendered to God? Not the little bit of you, not the part of you that you want to give to Him, but I'm talking about, are you fully surrendered to God? Your faults, your bad attitudes, your ego. I'm talking to somebody, your ego. Everything that you are you willing to surrender it all? Let's go, God, I surrender it all to you. I want to learn to be a person who surrenders. And so with every eye closed just for a moment, if that's you and you're like, man, I thought I was living surrendered, but I actually haven't fully surrendered to Him, but I really want to. And you might be going to yourself, man, I just don't know how to. It seems real hard. Let me tell you, making a daily decision to go, God, I surrender, is surrenderance. And so if that's you, can I ask you to stand where you are, just as a declaration to God saying, Lord, I'm going to do this. I'm going to fully put myself in and commit to you fully. If that's you, can you stand where you are? If that's you this morning, you're like, I haven't committed fully to you, Lord, but I want to surrender today. I want to make that decision today. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, but you're going to keep striving and you're going to keep surrendering daily. We're going to say this prayer together as a family, and I want every voice to say it. Are you ready? Yes, Jordan, ready. Oh, you ready? Oh, yeah. Okay, repeat after me. Lord, I know you have amazing plans for me. I know you know all things. And I'm sorry for not choosing to fully surrender to you. But I'm choosing today to start. God, help me to surrender my heart, to surrender my ways, to surrender my plans, and to surrender my thoughts to you. I acknowledge your ways are better, your ways are higher, and your ways are purposeful. So I yield to you today. Help me each day to surrender. I make this decision today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Give God a hand.